Read me romance. Read, read me romance. Read me romance. Read, read me romance.
You could take a look in a book, that's fine. Or you could sit back, relax, and unwind and
read me romance. Read, read me romance.
Hey, lady listeners, we're going to go right into some rage talk.
You're not special because you haven't seen the Titanic. That's what I'm starting
you
with.
You are not special if you haven't seen Titanic. It doesn't mean anything. Yeah.
Well, like, no, I just, my thing was, so we were talking about Game of Thrones, and by the time this airs, the last episode will be over and it'll be all done, but I'm not going to spoil anything for people who still want to enjoy it. But, you know, for people who post up that they're, that, oh, I don't get Game of Thrones, or I guess I'm the only one not watching, good for you, slow clap, pat on the back. I don't give a shit. Like, honestly, like, it's just, you're missing out on a great show. And if it's not your thing, that's cool. I've never seen, you know, like, oh, what's the high school, Friday Night Lights or whatever, or the, what's the other, Riverdale. Like, I've never seen that's any so of random. Those.
I've never seen any of these.
Like, I don't watch the WB. Like, I don't know any of those shows either.
The bottom line is what we're saying is let people have their thing. Like, yes. if people love Game of Thrones and everybody's talking about it, like, I think that's cool. It means there's like a cultural phenomenon happening.
Yeah.
And like, I love it when everybody is watching one show at the same time. I don't feel like that happens very often. Like, remember when Seinfeld's final episode played?
Yeah.
Everybody in New York City, like, bars came to a standstill and had the TVs turned all the way up to full volume. Nobody was moving or talking.
Yeah.
And I feel like that just happens once every like 5 years where everybody's watching a finale of something. Like The Walking Dead was one.
Yeah. Well, The Walking Dead's still going, but the one when they came back with Negan.
Well, I mean, like, the finale of a season, though. Yeah, like, yeah. Everybody will be watching, like, the finale of a season of it.
Yeah.
And we were also talking about how we did bail on Game of Thrones when they. Oh, and we can't say why.
Yeah, don't say why, just in case people haven't seen it. But
my husband
killed off a beloved character.
My husband's obsessed with it. And I just, he'll talk to me about it for hours, and I don't watch it. I just nod. I'm like, really? Okay, because he's so into it. I'm not going to ruin it. I'm just like, all right, awesome. Oh, okay. Whatever.
Well, like, I have friends who read the book years ago, and they two friends of mine, Norm and Keith, and they tried to get me to read it. And they were like, you'll love this. You're going to love this book. And I saw the size of that book, and I was like, hell fucking no. That book's like 1,000 pages. It's got all these lands and all this shit. And I'm just like, there's no way my brain's going to be able to keep up. Like, I'm not going to be able to keep up with that. Like, it's like Tolkien on acid. I'm like, there's
anything
no
with
way.
A map. Yeah, anything with a map, I'm always like, very wary.
It scares me. It intimidates me because
I can't keep track.
I don't have
that
imagination either. And I do, like, I don't know. It makes me think of Stephanie Meyer when she wrote Twilight, how she had the index in the back with all the characters' names, the covens, and what coven they were from because there were so many characters. Like, that's what I need with George R. R. Martin is, like, character indexes in the front and back of the books. But, and maybe he has that. I don't know. I've never read it.
Maybe they have it on a website or something.
Yeah, I'm sure there's lots.
They need
of
to get Melissa
dedicated.
To do their website.
Yeah, they need Melissa on the website. Yes. But, like, you know, I remember when the show first came out, I was like, I don't know if I'm gonna like this. And Kevin's like, you know, my husband, he's like, just watch the first couple episodes, see what you think. Like, it's on HBO. I'm like, okay. And I was hooked instantly. And, you know, if it's, like I said, if it's not your thing, it's not your thing. That's cool. But you don't have to shit on everybody else or belittle it by thinking you're better than them because you haven't seen it. Like, there's so much that, you know, oh my God.
And
like,
we were talking
me.
About how everybody does that with Titanic, the movie
yes.
Titanic.
I said, that
and how it's such a great movie,
school.
But somebody's always got
to
be like, I've never seen it, or I know how it ends, so I never watched it. Oh,
yeah.
Like, it drives me crazy.
Or the people say that to me about Harry Potter all the time, like, oh, I've never seen Harry Potter or read the books. I don't care. You're missing out on something so fucking awesome. It doesn't make you cool. Like, I mean, you know, like, not loving something is really sad. And that's how I feel when people haven't experienced that. Like, I don't know why I'm so, like, viscerally agitated right now, but I
know. That's why I was like, we should start the podcast while we're talking about this.
You're like, let's just hit record and let Leah just rage on the listeners.
I'm sure that there's a bunch of people, like, nodding along with us or yelling at us. Or maybe you are one of those people that shits on everybody's party.
Yeah.
And now you won't do it.
You are. Fuck you. Don't do it. It's not nice. Like, let people have their things, you know? Let people just enjoy life. You know, the day that the royal baby was born, baby Sussex or whatever, you know.
Archie.
What's his name? Archie, yeah. You know, the day that happened, it was so awesome. You know, and seeing all the nice posts. And then I just scroll through and, like, somebody just has to shit on it. You know, it's like, it's a fucking baby. Like, okay, you don't agree with the royal monarch and what they stand for. But, you know, like, be happy about something or that somebody else enjoys it. Or if you don't like it, just shut the fuck up. You don't got to give your opinion on everything. So, yeah. That's awesome.
Yes. Nope. I'm right in the same boat with you. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday.
This is the Read Me Romance podcast. We're here for the final installment of American Squire by Sierra Simone. We had to
scream at everybody.
And we're going to play that. We're going to play the final installment in a little while. I guess I could read a couple of lady listener emails first.
I would like that a lot.
Okay.
Are you going to yell at one?
No, I'm going to try to be nice. What is it about Game of Thrones?
Hello again, ladies. I love listening to you ladies every day. Every time you ask listeners to send in their stories, I always feel a bit bummed because I'm boring and I don't have a lot of stories. You're not boring. No one's boring. So I resolved that I would sit down and actually put some thought into this. That's when it hit me. I have a story. I did the girly squee thing alone in my car, which I'm sure entertained the other drivers to no end. Anyway, here goes. I discovered Alexa Riley shortly after their debut and found myself literally addicted to their books. I would scroll through their website daily looking for the upcoming releases to make sure I had them all marked down. But when I was trying to explain to a friend why I liked them, I found out I had a secret kink. Breeding! Or more specifically, just the guy coming without a condom. That is my freaking catnip. I love it. It turns me on so much. In fact, I realized that all of the naughty vids I enjoyed were basically just a compilation of guys getting off bareback, regardless of gender of partner. Like, that absolutely cranks my shaft. And theirs. I don't want the story or the buildup, just that. The sounds a guy makes when he gets off. Oh my lord. Yeah, so hot. So that's my secret. I know it's safe in your lovely hands. Thank you, lady listener, for sending that in. Awesome. Why is it so hot when a guy comes without a condom?
Because it's a, well, generally, because safe sex has been such a big deal. So whenever you forego a condom, it's like you're having this, it's almost like a special moment. You're like, I'm not wearing a condom. I trust you. That's how far I'm into this. It's almost to me like I would marry you right now.
Yeah.
I'm risking that. I'm risking everything. I don't care. That's how bad I want it.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. Like, I mean, I completely agree. But I think there's also something about, like, the excitement and the heat of the moment where it's like, I am not going to stop and think about that. And I don't care if you want it. Like, that's so fucked up. But that's what I like about it. When the hero's like, I'm going to fuck you without a condom and I'm going to come inside you. I'm not pulling out. Because like, that's happening.
It's men that run from commitment. And these guys in our books are like, oh, this is, it's not her. Because you always hear about, oh, she got pregnant on purpose. But our books, it's where he's like, oh, I'm going to get her pregnant on purpose.
Yeah, yeah. And the fact that he's like, you know, I don't know. I like that he's like, if anything happens, he's like, I'll take care of it. You know, there's no hesitation on his part. And I like that. This, like I said, it's in the heat of the moment, but it's also he wants to fuck her so bad and he won't be able to pull out. Like he might try, but he's like, I can't do it. You know, I love that. Like just being completely far gone, that far gone. But, you know, I see all the time that, you know, I see some authors post. I just hit my microphone. But I see some authors post that, you know, safe sex is sexy. Consent is sexy. And I will agree in, you know, a mature real life relationship, consent and safe sex are very sexy. And if, you know, you had a real life partner that wanted to check and make sure you're like, you're on the same heat level as them and that you're being protected and that kind of, I totally respect that. But this is fantasy. I mean, you know, our book Too Many is live today. You know, it's a menage book with twins who want the same girl. You know, it's like this is fantasy. Come on. Like, you know, this is supposed to be the time where you suspend reality and you get in there raw dogging it and you don't pull out. Like that's what this is all about, you know? I don't know. What do you feel? Do you have condoms in your book, Tessa?
Less and less lately, probably because of your influence.
Why do you think because you like it or do you think because it's...
In my earlier books, I remember, and actually I remember like Mel tweeting me on Twitter like in the early days, being like condom, like with a sad face about my books. She probably got in my head about it.
Oh yeah.
No, I make them have a conversation still. Like just because a lot of my readers, I think, will be like, well, wait, is there going to be a secret baby now? Like, what's happening? You know, like, is she going to get pregnant?
Yeah.
And then they'll just be taken out of the book and they'll be worried about that one thing. Whereas, like, if I just have her explain that she's on the pill or maybe they do want to get pregnant. Like, I just want to make it clear when they're having sex, like, what's going to happen with them not having a condom on.
It's not in the back of their head about it. Maybe,
like, maybe it is a book where she gets pregnant and then they don't have a conversation.
I like it when it's in the back of my head because then I keep scrolling. I'm like, oh, what happened?
Yeah. I think you definitely have to circle back to it, though. That's one of those things where I've read that before and nothing ever gets said about it. I'm like, they just had unprotected sex 27
right.
times.
Right. Like, was she on the pill? Like, yeah, did they, like, yeah. Was she on the pill? Was she on the shot? Mm-hmm. Or is she going to get pregnant? Which is it? Like, you have to tell me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't leave it open ended. And the breeding thing is, like, especially hot because, yeah, like Mel said, like, it really, like, the men today are, like, very anti-commitment, I feel like. Mm-hmm. They don't want to get, like, getting a woman pregnant is, like, you know, something that they're resigned to do once they get married, you know? Like,
just to be fair, in real life, that's scary for me, too, okay, to get pregnant.
Scary for everybody.
Yeah, like, I think
that. But, like, the idea of him, like, wanting to, he's like, yeah, I'm going to lock this down. I'm going to get her pregnant. I want to see her body, like, mm-hmm. Have my, like, ripen. With carrying my child,
I want,
like,
everybody to see
get
she's
larger
mine.
And
yeah. Mm-hmm.
And there's something that's really, like, because if you love a possessive hero, there's nothing more possessive than him wanting to, like, impregnate you.
It is.
And
like, you're literally walking around. I think we've said that in multiple of our books where our heroine will get hit on when she's pregnant. He's like, she's clearly marked. What are you doing?
She's clearly marked.
Oh my God. What was it, Saturday? Mel was flying home. And I took we have, you know, tracking on each other. And I took a screenshot of her location. And I put, like, romance readers. Alexa Riley is so, these heroes are so unrealistic. Nobody acts that crazy but Alexa Riley. And I put the picture of her, like, tracker, and it didn't say, like, it had no location because she was flying. But I was like, where are you? I was like, tell me this shit isn't real life. And she's like, we're just writing ourselves in these books.
As the, like, heroes. Yeah. As male heroes.
And I was like, oh, wow, that makes sense. We really are. So if anybody ever wonders where we get inspiration for our heroes, it's each other. Like, we're crazy obsessed with each other. So, like, later that night when I was checking to see if she was home, I didn't want to text her because I knew she was probably tired and traveling or whatever, and I just looked to see, and I was like, oh, okay, there's her house. Like, she's home. And I sent it to her. I was like, good to know you're safe.
I'd be embarrassed to have somebody track me. They'd be like, do you ever leave the house? Like, where do
We're going to start tracking you. Oh, Mel, why haven't we asked Tessa to do that with us yet?
It's okay. I don't feel left out. It's fine. Okay. Next email.
Listen, you say this until Mel's like, can you grab me a sandwich? And you're like, what the fuck? And you look and you're next to a sandwich place. And you're like, holy shit. She does it all the time. She was like, can you go back and get me some McDonald's? Thanks. I mean, we live like 20 hours apart. Like, but she's just fucking with me. To be like, oh, I see you're getting your nails done.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes I'm just checking to see. I'm like, oh, she's busy. I got more time to write. And sometimes I'm just bored.
So, yeah, we're definitely going to start tracking you now, Tessa. So, you're welcome. I'm going to get so sick of it.
No, I mean, you guys are just going to stop looking because I'm never, like, going to be anywhere exciting.
We'll never
stop. I'm going to be at Staples.
Are you kidding me? We're at home 98% of the time. We're never going to get tired of looking at you.
I see you're in your closet, Tessa. I see you're in your bathroom. Okay, hi, lady podcasters, aka Tessa, Mel, and Leah. So my apologies if this is kind of a duplicate. I think I sent a note via your website earlier this week, but I wanted to expound on my thoughts since I had some time to think about it. I was with my ex-husband for almost a decade. We have two beautiful little boys, and that relationship, from that relationship, but that is literally the only thing good to come of it. And even then, having to share them with him is stressful. He kept me shamed and isolated. I've been a longtime reader of both Tessa Bailey and Alexa Riley. You guys write such amazing stories with amazing men, men I sigh over and dream about, men who just absolutely love their women. It was my every fantasy come true. I had subscribed to the podcast when it first came out, but hadn't listened to it yet. I was in the middle of a separation divorce, It was a horrific, dark spiral. My ex is a narcissistic sociopath and used every occasion to belittle me and berate me. My self-esteem was lower than the toilet level. He made me feel like absolute garbage and managed to take away my self-worth and dignity and value as a woman. It was not a great time for me. But this is a happy for now story with all the potential for an HEA. I'm in therapy and I'm officially divorced. We are working on my self-esteem issues, double yay, but I rediscovered your podcast over the last 2 weeks. Up until I started listening to it, I was feeling like the trolls in the movie when they're all starting to turn gray. Aww. All the color drained from them. I know that scene very well. I'm slowly starting to get my colors back. Listening to the three of you has been like attaching a car battery to a defibrillator. It has 1,000% jump-started my self-esteem journey. Finding like-minded people to listen to that make me think and make me laugh is amazing and has given me a renewed happiness realizing that I'm enough and I'm not alone. I'm super late to the Twitter game, but I started an online Twitter journal of sorts, and I think I have retweeted at least one quote from your podcast every week. I feel it is so important to let people know when they have been good to you, and so at the end of my ramblings, I want you to know how very much I appreciate you ladies. You're wonderful. You're beautiful inside and out. What you're doing is so vital to so many, I'm sure. I love you ladies. I could go on, but I want to say sincerely from the bottom of my heart, thank you. I totally didn't read that to toot our horn. I read that to toot her horn because I think it's amazing that she's pulled herself out of this hole.
Yeah, this
and
terrible
gone
situation.
To therapy and made those and made the right decisions. Like, made the right decision to go to therapy, and she's like in this great place now. And it just makes me so happy that
nice.
Maybe we had a small part in it, but also she had the major role in it, just doing that for herself.
That's so amazing. I love that.
And also I'm sure there's people out there that are going through the same thing, maybe mm-hmm. going through a bad divorce or just not happy in their relationship or have gone through it in the past. And I think it's really inspirational for those people to hear somebody that made it out of that dark place.
You're worth it. Stand up. Be counted. Keep moving. You're going to get there and you're going to get what you want.
I think it just expands on, you know, the conversation we had last week about the girl who said that her therapist told her that, you know, romance gives her an unrealistic expectation of what romance is. So, I don't know. I mean, I just feel like you can have a therapist tell you things and not necessarily agree with them. You know, I just think saying that, you know, romance gives unrealistic expectations is a broad statement. I don't know if we really discussed it enough last week because I was still thinking about it after we recorded. At some point, if you're able to separate the fantasy from reality, there's nothing wrong with enjoying a fantasy. There's nothing, but when you get way too into it and it becomes your life and you become obsessed with it, and you push away your reality or, you know, your everyday situation because of it, then yes, it becomes a problem and it becomes a crutch. And I know most romance readers go through this at some point when they either first discover romance and they binge and they don't see anything else around them except this book or the next book or the next book. You know, when you start questioning your relationship or love and if it's meant to be. I think every romance reader at least has a hint of that at some point. And when it becomes like that all the time and it affects your everyday life, then yes, it can be a problem. But I don't think there's anything wrong with having something that's just yours and having a fantasy and, you know, creating a life for yourself if the situation you're in is super shitty. Like this one, this lady in particular that wrote in, you know, I think it's awesome that she was able to get out of this situation and find happiness in romance because we hear that all the time and I think it's awesome. So I'm glad she did, but I felt like maybe last week we didn't address that particular point enough when the therapist was like, hey, maybe not read romance. And I was like, whoa, 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 whoa. Like, I thought about it later and I was like, I just wanted to say that again, that, you know, it's okay to read romance and it's okay that your therapist is wrong. So yeah.
100%. Okay.
I have one I wanted to read too. And,
oh, go ahead.
Well, it said, I don't know if you guys follow Humans of New York, the Facebook page.
Oh, my God. Are you talking about the photographer?
No, I did. Yeah, the photographer. Yeah, yeah. The Humans of New York.
The four part?
It goes around and takes pictures and stuff. Brandon, the photographer.
Oh, no. The photographer that they, the woman that the that was on last week, the four-part story. Is that what you're talking about?
Oh,
that's not
yeah,
what you're talking
yeah, no,
about.
No. I remember her, but no, this was a love story, so I didn't want to share
Oh,
that.
Okay.
That one was kind of sad, so I know what you're talking about, though. But if you don't follow Humans in New York on Facebook, it's a really cool Facebook page. This guy named Brandon, he's a photographer. He goes around and he interviews people. He started out doing it in New York, and now he travels around the world. Currently, he's in Barcelona, Spain, and I was really excited because, like, one of the pictures he took, my husband and I were like, at the exact spot last summer, like, almost to the day, or we were there in June, but it was kind of crazy. Like, I sent him the picture. I was like, oh, my God, we were right there. But anyway, so he travels all around the world, and he just picks random people. And he just asks them a few questions, and if people open up, he tells their story and shares their picture. And so there was one on here, and it was last week, but I just wanted to share it because I just thought it was so cute, and it made me think of just romance in general. But the picture, just to preface it, is it looks like a really just average white guy. He's kind of like a dad, and there's this beautiful black woman next to him. He's got his arm around her. And their daughter, she's holding her, and she's just this cute, like, gorgeous mixed baby that is just so beautiful with her big chubby cheek. They're in Paris, France. And so they're just, it's the sweetest picture ever if you want to go check it out. It's from April 30th. It's the guy that's talking, and he says, both of us are really shy. We were working at the same office when we met. I'd do anything to walk by her desk, and she'd do the same. I'd ask her advice on certain projects. We were flirting the entire time, but neither of us wanted to admit it. Then one night, we decided to take a walk together after work. We ended up sitting on the bench just like this, and we had a very intimate conversation about our lives. We were so honest with each other. I talked about my weaknesses, my mistakes I'd made, and plans for the future. We were sitting in front of town hall, and both of us agreed that it would be a great place to get married one day, whenever we met someone. The whole time, I had my arm along the back of the bench, not quite touching her. It was so cold outside, but neither of us mentioned it because we didn't want the night to end. When the conversation finally finished, I walked her to her car. It was a 10-minute walk, and I tried to act relaxed, but inside I was really nervous. The whole time I was thinking about kissing her. Should I do it? Should I not? And I finally decided on a hug, but it was a deep hug, extra deep. That night I went back home and said to my roommate, "That's her." Like, it was so freaking
It's a really beautiful
sweet.
Post.
Like,
it is.
I just, I know. Like, that one was just so beautiful. And you can see the way he lights up, like, just sitting next to her. But it made me think about a shy hero. And I don't know if we've ever written a hero that was just so shy and so afraid of, like, what she might say if he made his move or if he confessed what he really felt for her. And I wanted to see if you guys had read books like that or if you, Tessa, if you had written one like that. But I just thought, like, God, I want to write a shy hero now. Like, one who's just, who's really nervous or maybe not nervous, but who's just really shy, I guess. Like, that's the best description I can use.
You know, I'm, like, literally looking at my bookshelf right now going,
I should have asked you guys before that, but I don't think I've ever read a book where the guy was like, you know, I love dominant, and I think that's so sexy, and confidence is great, too. But there was just something so endearing about reading this love story where she was really shy, and he was really shy, and they didn't know, you know, how he was going to say it, but he spent every day, like, trying to find reasons to go to her desk, and I was like, I want to write this love story. It was so good.
Is he claimed he kind of shy?
Yeah, I think so, because it's a friend's to
he
lover.
He was a little unsure, and he would find ways to go and see her.
Yeah, I claimed it would be the closest one we'd have to do that, because he didn't want to, like, wreck their friendship, because he liked her so much, and he didn't want to chance losing her. I think that would be one.
So if you're in Read Me Romance headquarters on Facebook, go in today and post your shy hero book recs so that we can.
Yeah, that would be great.
And then we'll make a list of them, and then we'll compile a list of shy heroes, like the exact opposite of everything we've recommended up to this point.
Well, I just thought it was so sweet, like when I read it, and then I couldn't
no, it
think
is
of
really,
an example.
It is really,
yeah.
I'm gonna like yeah. Go ahead.
Now I just want to know, like, I couldn't think of an example for a romance hero who is a little like. I was a little scared. I just thought, how tender was that to be vulnerable, you know, and to finally, like, you know, when he says, I settled on the hug, and it was a deep hug. And I just thought, oh, that hug led to a baby.
Somebody, so I just went and like Googled Shy Heroes and got like a Goodreads list pulled up. And somebody says Sheltered by Charlotte Stein, but I don't think. Oh my God, I have one. I have one.
What?
Flat Out Love by Jessica Park.
What is that? I've never heard of it. Tell me.
It's like, it's one of the very first new adult books I ever read. And it's not heavy on sex. Okay. It's just like a kind of almost like...
This would probably be a situation where it would be like, it would be more romance, you know, like more sweetness.
It's really satisfying. It's mistaken identity. It's like a coming of age story. This girl goes to live with these people while she's in college. And I don't want to tell you anything about it, but it's...
What?
Oh, I just thought of one.
What?
You got one, Mel? Sorry.
Yeah, I just thought of one that is the best one I've ever read.
Okay, what is it? What is it?
And it is by Jessica Clare, Beauty and the Billionaire. Remember the guy who's scarred up?
Yeah.
You don't remember that book where he's scarred and the heroine is like got red hair and she has to go, he sees her and he wants her, but he doesn't know how to approach her. So he hires her to come to his house and he makes up this fake treasure chest thingy that she has to go through these notes because she's an author. And she ghostwrites and he just kind of sees her. He like lurks around the mansion and he's a virgin, but she's very bold and she's like curious. You've read this book.
Yeah, I can't think of it now.
You guys have recommended that book before. Beauty and the Billionaire by Jessica Clare.
It is one of the best books I've ever read. The hero is just like phenomenal, and I think it's the heroine that makes it so, because she's just like boom on it. She's like, what, who's this? And she's curious. She finds his scars like interesting, and he's a story to her. God, it's such a good book.
Okay, so Beauty and the Billionaire by Jessica Clare. Mine is Flat Out Love by Jessica Park. And it's been out for a while. Like, I feel like it came out when the new adult craze was like just taking off. It's funny. It's really funny. Like I said, not heavy on the sex, but the romance is really, really satisfying. And it's got a happy ending. So that's my recommendation.
Was there anything else on the Goodreads shelf?
I know Sheltered, I'm going to think of like 50 fucking books when this is over.
Which one, Mel?
Remember Easy by that Tamara Weber?
Yeah, I saw that on this list too. And I'm like, I don't remember him being shy at all. Oh no, he is.
Is
that the book where he saves her from being sexually assaulted in the parking lot? You're right. He is shy. I was thinking of a different book. I was thinking of Easy A. Easy is definitely – no, not Easy A. Something else.
It's sweet.
Yeah, this book is called Easy, and it's like she has to like really convince him to give their relationship a try, right? Because he's like, I think he thinks he's not good. Like he's not good enough for her. Yeah.
Yeah, he had a rough past, but he wants to be near her and be friends with her. So he like becomes her friend.
And he protects her.
Yeah, she's constantly like, does he like me? Does he not like me? Are we doing this? Are we not doing this? What's happening here?
Yeah, but he saves her. She's at like a frat party and she goes out into the parking lot or something and he saves her from some guy that's trying to assault her.
It's a great story about how, because she was high school sweethearts with somebody and you were introduced with her with this guy and then she goes off to high school or to college together and he like turns into a frat guy and she's kind of like, we had our whole lives planned. And then here comes this little bit of a rebellious looking guy.
Yeah.
That comes.
Right. He's like punk a little bit. Is he like a little punk style?
He seems very punk. Yeah. His style seems punk, but he's not.
Okay. You guys. Okay. Those are our three recommendations that we got off a Goodreads list. This very second.
Because there's so many books. And then when you see them, you're like, I read those. I know.
I want to go through now because I had to have read it before because I can't be the first person who's asked for a book like this, you know, but just reading that story really sparked it. And I was like, I want to share it with you guys and read it on there.
Isn't it funny how like sometimes you'll read a book and like whatever the subject matter is or how the hero is, all of a sudden that's all you want to read.
Yes.
Like it just triggers something inside you.
Oh, by the way, I started
Into the Woods by...
Into the Woods. Is it it starts with a T. Hold on, I got my phone.
I can't believe I can't think of her name right now.
Oh my God, you recommended it to me and I saved it.
Tana French.
It's like a murder mystery kind of detective thing.
Yeah.
So I just started it this weekend. So I'm not that far in. I'm just a couple of chapters in, but I'm listening to it on the audio. And the narrator's got a great voice. It's a beautiful British accent. So even though it's based in Ireland, the guy has a British accent. That's weird. Well, the guy
he does the Irish accent with his British accent.
No, he's British. Like the guy that's narrating it is British, and even though because the hero is from Ireland, but he talks about how he went to boarding school in the UK, and that's how he got his accent. So everybody treats him like a foreigner when he's like, "I'm from here." So it's really nice. I love a British narrator though, so I'm super excited about it. I started listening. I was like, "Oh shit, Tessa didn't tell me this!" Like I got really excited when I started playing. So it's been really good.
Speaking of really good narrators, Jacob Morgan. I don't know if you guys have ever heard the narrator Jacob Morgan, but he narrates Sierra Simone's book Sinner, the one that's on Chirp right now for $1.99. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's got an amazing voice, you guys. Yeah. You have to go listen to him. Oh, yes.
I'm gonna have to check it out. I've never heard of Chirp. I'm going to have to get on it because I love audiobooks.
I know. I didn't hear about it either until she told me about this deal. And now I'm like obsessed with it, going through it.
Fuck yeah.
But he also narrates Priest in that same series.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah. And if you buy Priest right now on Amazon, if you click it, you can get the narration for $7.49.
I love that. Like, it's a deal.
And you have this like amazing pornographic voice in your ear the whole time.
Telling you sacrilegious things that turn you on.
Yeah. Okay, and I want to tell you about one more, another series by Sierra Simone. I don't know if we probably talked about it throughout the week, but the New Camelot series, which is where we meet Ryan Belvedere from American Squire. The books are in order: American Queen, American Prince, and American King. And they're a contemporary reimagining of the legend of King Arthur, Guinevere, and Lancelot.
I like that.
So let me tell, I'm going to read you the blurb really quick for American Queen.
Give it up.
Warned as a girl to keep her kisses to herself, Greer Galloway disobeys twice, once on her 16th birthday as she's kneeling in a pool of broken glass, and another time after a charming stranger named Embry Moore whisks her into the dazzling Chicago night. Both times she falls in love, and both times her heart is broken beyond repair. And so as an adult, she vows never to kiss or to love again. That's until the Vice President of the United States shows up at the university where she teaches and asks for one thing, for her to meet with the hero-turned-president, Maxon Colchester. Maxon, the soldier who was her first kiss in that broken pool of glass. And the other complication? The Vice President is none other than the charming Embry Moore himself. Ooh. Soon Greer finds herself caught between past and present, pleasure and pain, and two men who long for each other as much as they long for her. And as war and betrayal press ever closer, they tumble headlong into a passionate love affair that will change the world.
Damn, that sounds...
Oh my god. This is where I'm at right now. Like, this is where I'm at right now. I'm in this world that I'm so sucked into it. Mm-hmm. And it's just like gorgeously written. I can't even just recommend her enough. You guys have to go read Sierra Simone.
You were so excited when she agreed to do the podcast. I'm serious. You, like, that was one of your big gets when you were like, you
it was really hard for
understand.
Me to ask her because I'm like, I feel like I had just met her the weekend before at Shameless. Mm-hmm. And I was like,
but you were
now
a big
I feel
fan,
like,
though.
Yeah, no, I'm a fan. I'm a fan of her as a person as well. She's very just like a positive person. And like, we have the same. Like political, like, you know, just like I just feel like I appreciate her point of view on things, and I like her so, and her books are just such a joy. But anyways, I have one more question to ask you guys before we head into this final installment of American Squire. Skydiving, yes or no?
I don't know. What about you?
I was scheduled to go skydiving when I was 18 and I canceled at the last second because I Googled mortality rates.
No!
For
you did not.
The day before I was supposed to go.
What was the mortality rate?
I don't remember, but it was like, even if one person had died, it would have been my excuse to not go. And I just don't think I wanted to do it, actually.
And you're a no, Mel? Like, you're a solid no? Like, never
solid no on skydiving?
I don't know if I'm. I hate that feeling of falling. That
drop. So you probably shouldn't do it.
It's like endless falling. Like, if somebody's like, I don't want to go on the roller coaster. Like, I'm like, no, I don't want to. But I'm not scared to go on it. If you're like, you have to come so I can go. I'm like, okay, I'll get on the roller coaster.
Yeah.
But I'm just like, I'm good. I don't need to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But if I have to, if somebody was like, if you don't come with me, I can't go. Then I'm like, fine, I would jump out of the fucking plane. I don't want
so you're just very easy to be guilted into things?
Yes. Yeah. It's not the fear, it's the feeling in your tummy. Is that what you're saying? Like, it's not the fear of heights, yeah. I used to say that I would do it, you know, like, when I was younger, and I don't know, like, it doesn't feel real to me. That's the thing. Like, I know I wouldn't bungee jump because I wouldn't like to bounce. I wouldn't like how that felt. But jumping out of a plane does not feel real. I don't know why that is. When I look down at the ground when I'm on a plane, I think, I can jump out. Like, it's just not, like, it doesn't feel that far. I know that sounds stupid. Like, I look at the ground, and it's like it's a movie or something. Like, it's a screen.
I'm like, what you mean. Flying doesn't scare me either. Yeah. Like, I don't think my mind really comprehends that I'm this far up in the air. To me, I'm just in a room. Yep. I'm just hanging out in a room.
Yep. My mind does the same thing. It's like I just don't conceive that I'm flying in the sky in a metal tube and there's nothing under me. Like, that doesn't occur to me. And, you know, I feel like if I jumped out of a plane, like, I feel like that'd be so awesome. Like, I did just, but now I'm like, the older I get, the more I'm like, what if it pulls my back? Like, that's legit my thought, you know? Like, it's not that, you know, I wouldn't do it, but I'm thinking, like, oh, how sore am I going to be the next day after this? Like, you know, I hate going to the
gym. Are we
going to
land wrong? Did I have to walk, like, a mile back?
Yeah. And then I'm like, I mean, is there going to be a golf cart, like, waiting to pick me up? I'm not wearing the right shoes for that. You know, like, those are the stupid shit that occurs to me
now. Do I have to fold this thing back up into its shoe? What do I have to do?
Like, is there a margarita at the end of this? Like, you know, just, not, like, dumb shit like that is what keeps me from doing stuff. But, like, you know, I'm going to Universal in a couple of weeks. Because there's a new ride that's opening up, and I'm super pumped to ride it as many times as I can, and or as I'm able to with the time restraints. But, you know, I'm just like that's the kind of stuff where I'm like, I'm gonna be tired, but it's gonna be worth it. But with skydiving, I just don't have that burning desire to do it, to put up with the shit that would come with it. Like, I'm probably gonna pee my pants. I'm gonna have to wear Depends. You know, like wear an adult diaper. Why do it?
I mean, I start the day before.
Like, I sneeze and I pee. I'm definitely gonna pee if I jump out of a plane. I've had 2 C-sections. You know, my bladder's not where it used to be. So yeah, like, you know, that seems like a lot of work. So I don't know.
Like, for a lot of what?
Yeah, for what? For falling out of something that's not gonna feel real. Like, for going into the fake ground. Like, you know.
Okay, so for next week, okay, this is what we want. This is where we want you to email us with readmeromance@gmail.com. Send us, like, your skydiving stories. Like, if they, like, don't just, like, send us a skydiving story. Send us your skydiving story if something crazy, miraculous happened, or if there was a disaster, or you had a scare, or something like that. Like, something skydiving related. Send
like
it
if,
to us.
If I had, like, I saw a video recently where there was a guy and a girl, they were tandem, like, on top of each other going off of a cliff on one of those little airplane, like, hang gliders, and she wasn't buckled in, and so she had to hold on to, like, the pole for, like 20 minutes until the guy could land it. And she pulled, like, she, like, ripped all the muscles in her arm, like, from holding on to it. And like broke something else, like all this stuff, because she came up. That terrifies me.
That's jumping, my nightmare.
Like, jumping off a cliff, like, that's why I don't think I could bungee jump, because you'd have to jump off of something to do it. With a plane, it's like, you just go out of it.
Well, here's my thing.
Like, it doesn't feel real.
I'm afraid of this. I'm afraid of, if my parachute doesn't work, I'm afraid of the whatever minute and a half it will take me to get to the ground. I'm afraid of that feeling and those thoughts that I would have,
like,
knowing
right
I'm about
you
to die. Yeah. Like, that's what I'm afraid of, like, in a plane crash situation. I'm like, the actual crash, like, okay, fine. But that, like, moment of knowing I'm going
to
die, I'm really scared of.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's the scary part about death, is being afraid because you see it coming. I think that's what's scary about it. You know, if you go to sleep and you don't wake up, I mean, that's just, like, the jewel of dying, you know? Like, that's what you're after.
Hashtag death goals.
I know, right? Like, that's what you're after, is just to go to sleep. You know, nobody wants to see their death approaching them at a rapid speed, you know, as you're falling towards it. But you know what they say, the last thought, you know, that goes, or the last thing that goes through your mind before you, you know, when you skydive, if you die, like, it's the ground. So, you know, that's the last thing that goes through your mind before you die.
Oh my God, that's dark.
I know, right?
Okay, so send us your skydiving disaster or, like, epiphany stories, but also because in honor of Sierra Simone Week, because of she has these books that, like, have such, like, religious tones to them, and some of them even just have fucking in a church.
Yeah.
Send us your, like, hooking up at church stories. Is that terrible?
Oh, my God.
So if you've ever hooked up at church or had a flirtation, like, maybe as a child, like, you had, like, a sexual awakening with somebody when you were 18 or 17, is that okay to say?
Yeah, sure.
At church. Yeah.
That's old enough. I love that.
Yeah, like, something, yeah, or church camp.
Those
or
churchy
with your
people,
pastor,
let me tell you, those are the horniest
like
ones. They are.
I want to know all about it. So send it to readmeromance@gmail.com. We want to read it, and we'll keep you anonymous, as always, so.
I'm going to send them on all my church dirty church stories.
Well, I'm not keeping you anonymous.
definitely will. I'm going to create a Gmail just for this.
Okay, you guys, here's the final installment of American Squire by Sierra Simone. And we'll talk to you on the other side. Bye.
Bye.
That night, we fuck by the light of the small fire in Sydney's room. Because our rooms are so close to Auden's, I'm gagged. And Sydney amuses himself by scratching his nails over the still raised welts from earlier and listening to me whimper. I'm also blindfolded, although there's no real reason for that. No reason other than that Sydney wants it, and I want to give Sydney what he wants. Sydney fucks like he does everything else, with cool, ruthless grace. He takes me on his bed, with me on my stomach and my head pillowed on my arms. And just before he comes into his condom, he flips me over and pulls down both the blindfold and the gag to my neck. "Just wanted to see those pretty doll eyes," he breathes. And then he orgasms with a gorgeous sigh, the firelight revealing the clenching, glistening muscles of his belly as he fills the latex with his seed. It's enough of a sight to send me right to the edge, and I am writhing against the air as he pulls out. "Mr. Blunt," I beg. He's gotten up to throw away the condom, and he comes back to the bed with a wicked look on his face. "For the next 15 minutes, I want you to call me Sydney," he says. And without further preamble, he dips his head and sucks my needy cock right into his mouth. "Mr. Sydney," I gasp, trying to buck deeper into him. "Oh my God, Sydney, oh my God." I haven't felt a mouth on my cock since college. Haven't felt the heat or the suction or the brush of someone's jaw against my thighs as they adjust their position in years. My toes curl, my back arches, and then Sydney looks up at me through his eyelashes. And I can see why he likes it so much, why it's such an erotic sight. There's something about the faux demureness of the angle, the vulnerability of it. Innocence and mischief peering up while you compel them to service the rudest parts of you. And that it's Sydney, sophisticated, arrogant Sydney, with his lips wrapped around me and his silver eyes glinting with amused power. It drives the pleasure of the act past what I can bear. I ejaculate into his mouth with a soft, ragged noise, forcing myself to watch every single second of him swallowing me down. He lets me finish completely. He takes every pulse of me until I'm entirely spent. And then he arranges us on the bed so that we're laying side by side, with my head pillowed on his shoulder. We were mostly clothed today, and I had my blindfold on for most of tonight, so I revel in simply getting to look at my new lover by firelight, spread out in a delicious length of muscle and dark hair. "Can I touch you?" He turns to me, his hair ruffled and his cheeks still splotched with exertion, and his expression the loose and satisfied look of a man who's had his needs tended to. "I'd like that," he says, and indeed, he does seem to like that. He likes when I stroke my fingers along the corrugations of his belly and when I explore the wide plains of his chest. He watches me with glittering, approving eyes when I press my lips to his nipples and explore the damp well of his navel with a darting tongue. And I get a very male purr when I tuck my mouth against the curves of his testicles and suck and lick until I've memorized their topography. In fact, he likes me touching him so much that I end up getting fucked again, and neither of us can last much longer than it takes for him to get inside me and for me to grip my cock. We come, we clean up, and we fall asleep the way I've wanted to fall asleep for years, tucked safely into a master's arms, sleepy and welted and adored. I find the book 2 days after Christmas. It's a slim volume tucked between two different amateur histories of Thornchapel, and it crackles ominously when I take it into my hands. Sydney, who I've learned over the last few days is uncannily attuned to my movements, is up and peering over my shoulder at the book in seconds.
"Is that it?"
he asks, and then takes it into his sure, expert hands once I've nodded. He examines it thoughtfully for a few moments.
"I've never heard of this publisher," he says, pointing to the title page. "And these end sheets are beyond luxurious. This must have been a very expensive book to own."
I search in vain for a date on the front. "How old do you think it is?"
"Books aren't my area of expertise," he says, frowning down as though it's the book's fault he spent years studying paintings instead. "But it looks mid-18th century to me, maybe a decade or two older."
He hands the book back to me with a "hmm." "Hmm, what, Mr. Blunt?"
"Tristan and Isolde of Lyonesse? Wasn't your kink club called Lyonesse?"
I look down at the book, surprised. "It was. I mean, it is. What an interesting coincidence." Although, even as I say the word coincidence, I somehow know it's got to be more than that. With Merlin, it always is. Sydney puts me in touch with a company who can courier such a valuable item to Merlin, who is not in America, as I thought, but in Wales on some kind of romantic getaway with Nimue. And although we've spent the last 4 days in a heady fog of punishment, sex, and faking polite, disinterested conversation whenever Auden Guest is around, I do feel a bolt of trepidation as I sign the book over to the delivery service. I really no longer have a reason to intrude on Auden's hospitality, and what I have with Sydney feels too delicate to force into real life. I'm suspended in an awful limbo as I walk back from the front door to the library, and that limbo becomes hellish when I get to the library and see that Sydney is packing up boxes of provenance papers. "Oh," I say, stupidly. "Are you finished?"
"I've done all I can do here on site," he explains, setting a lid over one box and reaching for another. "I've examined the paintings themselves and examined the documentation. I'll do the rest of the work at my office."
For 4 years, I've held my ground in front of generals and kings, and yet, right now, I want to twist my hands in my sweater and plead. Of course Sydney notices this, because those cold, perceptive eyes miss nothing, and he lets go of the box to walk over to me and take my face in his hands.
"You didn't know earlier, but I'm asking if you know now. Will you come to London with me? Will you allow me to try to win you?"
"Mr. Blunt," I say, trying to duck my face. He doesn't let me. "I think you've already done that. Won me, I mean." Sydney Blunt, ice god and art expert, lets out a long, relieved sigh.
"Thank fucking God."
I decide right then and there when he's at his most vulnerable and his most human. Had I felt like I was drifting before I came to Thorn Chapel? That nothing would ever matter again? How could I have been so wrong, when all this time I'd been drifting right towards him? And then I have to wonder, really wonder, why Merlin had to send me to get this book. Why not come himself, if he's already in Wales? Why not have Kremer arrange for someone? Could Merlin have known that I needed to meet Sidney Blunt? Could he have constructed this entire scenario just to see me happy? Maybe I am lucky to know a real wizard. Maybe I'm the luckiest man alive. I'm going to come with you, I declare. Sidney's forehead drops to mine, and his eyes sweep closed. Oh, Ryan, is all he says. But what next? I ask. When I come with you, what will we do? What I mean is, where will I live? How will I find a job? How much right will I have to your time? But what he says is, well, next, I think that I'd like to fall in love with you. I melt. I die. I want. Is that going to be a problem? He whispers, lowering his mouth to mine. Which means, can I? Yes, damn it, he can. Yes, I whisper into his kiss. Yes, and yes, and yes. And yes.
Hey, lady listeners, was hey. That? How was that? happily ever after.
I wish they could see your face.
I was actually emailed Sierra Simone about this. I was like, because I told her I wanted to tell her how much I loved it, mm-hmm. American Squire, and she was like, I'm starting to think that writing full length books is for the birds. Like, this is so nice. Because, like, me, like, a little bit of angst, a hook, like, hook up, fret a little bit, send them off into the sunset. Like, it's just such a nice thing. This, like, novellas are such an easy, mm-hmm. I don't know, they're a nice introduction to, like, meeting an author, but also you don't have to worry about, like, some catastrophic thing happening because there's just not time.
Yeah. Well, and it's, too, you know you're going to get a happily ever after on this. You know, I think if some authors, if you gave them, like, the 15,000-word maximum, like, okay, you can't write beyond this. If you gave them that for this podcast and you say, well, you know, some might leave it in a cliffhanger, you know, some might have it, you know, something bad happening and then the book just stops. At least like with this way, you know, there isn't time, like you said, for a ton of drama, but also, you know, it's easy to write a little happily ever after and it feels so good, especially if you've never tried this author before, to read something of theirs, to love it and feel good afterwards. Like, of course, that makes you want to go listen to everything they have.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And if you like the Auden, the man who owns the crumbling manor, the mysterious, good-looking Auden, I think he's where I'm going next. I want to read about him. And he's in the book A Lesson in Thorns, which is her most recent release. So I would go click that up for sure. Yeah, like Sinner, her book Sinner is on Chirp for the app, the free app Chirp for $1.99. And if you go there, you can get deals on other audiobooks as well. So chirpbooks.com or just download the app and to get more information. And
I want to see who Sinner else is on there.
Yeah, I know. I'm like, I gotta go. There's a lot. But it's also narrated by Jacob Morgan, who I think she said his voice was like a vibrator, a human vibrator.
Stop it. Oh my God.
Yeah,
love
he's
it.
Amazing. It's totally apt description. Lesson in Thorns, like I said, the new Camelot series, you know, Misadventures of a Curvy Girl. She's got so many good books. And, you know, like I said, if you download Priest, you can get the audio for like $7.49, which is a really good deal. So I think we're leaving you with lots of good stuff to read here.
Absolutely.
And you guys have a release today, right?
Yes. Too Many is out today. So we've talked about it on the podcast before. The book was Too Hard, and it was about this older guy who is a contractor, and the girl, she's younger, she's a gamer and stuff, and she tried to fix something in her house, and like a pipe burst and all this stuff. So he comes to fix it, And she wants him really bad. And he's like, we can't, you know, I'm old enough to be your dad, blah, blah, blah. He has two teenage sons. Well, they're his nephews that he's raised as his sons with him when they meet her for the first time. And so they give him shit about her so that he'll go after her. They're like, oh, and she hot? Like, think about all the stuff I do to her. And it just makes him harder and harder and harder. So it's called Too Hard. So anyway, so he goes after her. So this book is about the twins and then her cousin. So it's a menage, and it's the twins end up hooking up with the heroine in Too Hard, her cousin. So she's in it, and you know, they just recently graduated from college, and they're taking over their dad's business because he's busy making babies with his new wife and all this stuff. So, it's just a quick extra book, that we wrote with it that, you know, people were demanding their story. So we were like, you know what, let's just write it. So it's called Too Many. It's out today, hopefully, fingers crossed. And it's super sexy. We had a lot of fun writing it. So get it. So that's what we got. What do you
all
got
the,
out,
all the Tessa? Links will be in the...
Well, you've got June 11th. You've got your Fixer Up.
Yeah, June 11th, Fixer Up is coming out.
And you've got the bonus book with it, right? The
yeah, if you pre-order... I'm like, what am I doing with that again? if you pre-order Fix Her Up, you get a free ebook with 8 bonus stories from, like, past books of mine. 4 of them... I have a group on Facebook where I've released 4 of the stories, but 4 of them are brand new that nobody's ever read. And they're with four of my favorite couples. So yeah, it's kind of a good deal. And
do you
want to
plug your
it's
Facebook
only
group?
For...
Do you want to plug your
no,
Facebook?
No, I feel like we're, no. I don't know. I shouldn't do that. Should I do that?
No. If you want people to go in it, if you don't want people to go in it, you don't have to.
I don't want people to go in it. So definitely don't search Bailey's Babes on Facebook and request, because I won't let you in.
Okay, great. Do not enter Bailey's Babes.
B-A-B-E-S. Yeah. Yeah, that's it. And
next week.
Yeah.
Yeah, that comes out
is
next
that,
week.
Oh, next week. Next week on the podcast. Oh, okay. BB Reed is going to be here. She's going to finish off season 2 for us. She's got a book.
Evermore.
Evermore, okay.
Evermore. And I think it's an amazing
it's
cover.
Gorgeous. I know. I love
And is
her.
It, it's a couple that she's already written, but it can be read standalone or listened to standalone on the podcast. But it's a couple from her book, I believe, The Pear and the Puppet, if I'm not 100%. And it's new adult. And I think this one takes place at like a prom. So I'm really excited
yes,
about that.
Yes, that's right. Because we were talking about the cover.
Cruel Intentions vibe.
Cruel Intentions vibe.
Shit,
I should go give that movie a rewatch.
Fuck, it's so good. Yeah, you should watch it with your daughter. It probably holds up.
Okay, Leah, tell them what to do.
Fuck your day up. Make today your bitch. Don't be a dick.
Bye.
Bye.
Read me romance. Read me romance. Read me romance. Read me romance. You could take a look in a book, that's fine. Or you could sit back, relax, and unwind and read.